handsome!
Hello, everyone. This is the Handsome Boys Comics Hour, your weekly discussion of comics and other pop culture. Your home for news, reviews, slightly antagonistic banter, and much, much more. I am Robbie Dorman.
And I'm Eric Z. Goodnight. I'm in charge of the much, much more.
I said much, much more.
Yeah, I know. I'm the one responsible for bringing more.
Oh, I get all the other stuff, but you just handle the mores.
Yeah, I bring much, much more.
I mean, that is a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot.
It is. It's much, much more. There's two muches in there.
There's a lot. That's a few. That's a couple of muches.
Couple of muches.
Couple of muches.
We got a jam-packed episode. This is episode number 10. Double digits.
Yes.
I think we should have like a giveaway where everyone can get nothing.
Yeah, I'll give you a tweet.
Yeah, everybody.
Robbie will write you a tweet in the style of Brian Lee O'Malley.
Exactly. If you tweet me and ask me, I will do it. It's very simple.
Yes.
So,
yes.
It's really easy to do. But this is episode 10. We're very excited. We're going to go right into checking. This is going to be a jam-packed, full of content episode. We're checking in with very similar things.
Yeah, because it's in the zeitgeist.
We're both nerds.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Hey, I know. Like, we do similar things. I guess we should start with Pacific Rim. I think so. That's where we should start.
Ah, yes.
I'm going to say right off the bat, it's awesome and I love it.
I'm going to say right off the bat, it's average and I don't hate it.
Oh.
I knew we were going to argue about this. As soon as I was watching, I was like, Robbie is going to pee his pants over this movie. He is going to effing love it. Because you know what it reminds me of?
No, what?
Is The Fifth Element. Which we have both admitted to liking this movie, but you...
I love The Fifth Element.
You were like, I love The Fifth... I mean, admittedly, I like it too. I'm a big fan of Luc Besson. But it reminds me a lot of The Fifth Element and that it's written in that way that's... I mean, it's a fun science fiction movie, but it's also really dumb at the same time.
It does not adhere to reality. not at all.
No, it's a lot like... It's a lot like that. It's written a lot the same way. I think if you like The Fifth Element, then you will like this movie. I mean, it's certainly got a lot of good things going for it. I'm going to buy a Blu-ray copy. I think I actually want to watch it a second time in 3D.
I saw it in 2D. I did not watch it in 3D, so I don't need it in 3D. I don't. 3D generally doesn't help me.
Well,
appreciate the film.
This movie's all about spectacle.
It is.
You know, it's a big spectacle. And I think that going to the theater and seeing it on the big screen in IMAX 3D or something would enhance it. I didn't like Avatar, but I regret that I didn't watch it in 3D.
I like this movie a lot more than I liked Avatar.
Oh yeah, it was certainly better than Avatar. Avatar, I felt kind of insulted to have to watch Pocahontas in space.
Yes, exactly. This is unabashedly cheesy and dumb.
Yeah.
Yes. They make no bones about it. This is a movie about giant robots fighting giant monsters with like buzz saws and missile launchers popping out of chests and like plasma cannons and rocket punches, monsters that have EMP blasts built in to them. I don't know how that works. How a monster can have like a built in EMP blast, but and they shoot acid
naturally.
I
It's bioengineering.
It is. Alien bioengineering. Yeah, if you're not familiar, Pacific Rim, the basic plot is that, like, this other dimension, aliens from another dimension are sending these giant monsters through a rift in the bottom of the ocean, the Pacific Ocean, if you didn't catch that from the title.
Oh, man, it wasn't just a clever title.
No, it was not just a clever title. And they are attacking Earth, and so Earth bundles the resources, which that's the thing that maybe bothered me the most. The only thing that probably broke my
it was the only part of this incredibly plausible documentary.
Yes, exactly.
That you couldn't accept the suspense of disbelief.
Yeah, the robots, they're like, oh yeah, we put our money together and we made like dozens of giant robots that one would cost $1 trillion or something.
Maybe.
And I don't like the feat. It's like a feat of engineering. I guess in 10 years we suddenly we've progressed far enough where we can make these things for under $1 trillion.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, we live in a world where these things could be made, but that's what I question. Why would a giant humanoid robot actually be effective to fight anything? It's just awesome.
We just watched it. That's how effective it is. It was super effective.
It was super effective?
No, not really, actually. It was pretty not effective.
It's like using Pikachu on Squirtle. It was super effective.
Exactly. It's just like Pokemon. Some of the monsters look like Pokemons.
They do look like Pokemans.
It was a fun, stupid popcorn movie should be.
Yeah, I don't know that that's exactly what I was expecting after Hideo Kojima's. did you read that?
Yes, I did.
The Hideo. Yeah. Okay. Was that last
week?
It was last weekend.
Yes.
Yeah. Now that the Hideo Kojima's glowing review where he's like, if you don't watch this movie, you cannot be Japanese. And I was like, shit, I'd better watch this movie.
But yeah, it's dumb and big, but it's beautiful. The graphics look amazing.
It to me, one of the things that bothers me about it, and it's just sort of a consequence of these HD movies, is it seems like there's just too much detail and you can't follow focal points in what's going on. Like, I feel like it's a lot of things are kind of overdone. And it's, I don't know, on a big screen, we also watched it like way too close. Like, we were like in the front row, so it was kind of sensory overload for me, but it was
we were in the middle of the theater, so I just think that it wasn't too bad.
Most movie
it wasn't too bad for the middle of the theater.
I imagine so. Maybe that's what it is. It was just so much that I felt like I was just being attacked with detail. It was kind of bananas.
It kind of made me think of Street Fighter.
Street Fighter?
Just all the fight scenes made me think of Street Fighter and the way the characters... Like, you had the Russian team and the Chinese...
Oh, yeah.
The Chinese triplets.
Yes.
And then, you know, the Australian son and father. And then you get all these oddball mashups of teams.
So here's the question. Why didn't any of the robots flash kick?
That's Pacific Rim 2.
Pacific Rim
2. They're saving it. Yeah.
They're saving the flash kick.
We take the fight to them.
We take the fight to them.
Yeah, we open up our own rift and go down and kill the aliens.
Yes. Pacific Rim 2, the quickening.
The quickening.
The rimming.
There can only be one rim.
Yes.
That doesn't make any sense.
Pacific Rim 2, rim job.
God. I was leaving that alone.
Well, that
you had
know,
to go there.
You know me. I.
You had to go into the rim.
I did. I had to rim it.
So our final thoughts. I loved it. You should go spend your money on it. Eric thinks it's. Okay.
I did not hate it. I thought it was. I thought it was good enough. I thought it was really dumb. I will probably be watching it again though. So that should tell you something.
Go see it. That's what it's telling you.
I think that you should see it. You, listener.
Yes. Next up, we're both going to check in again, like we're twins or something.
Twinsies!
I'm totally the Arnold Schwarzenegger twin.
Okay, is that right? Even though
you're Danny
DeVito. I'm taller.
That is it. Size has nothing to do with it.
Size has nothing to do with it.
It's good looks.
Wow.
Although Danny DeVito is a pretty attractive man, too.
I don't think that you can't lie to me.
I can't lie to you? Can't
lie to me.
Fine, you're Arnold. Let's be serious.
Who has the better Arnold voice between us? Mine is. I don't know. Mine has gotten shittier over the years.
Mine's not bad.
Is it? That should be the only criteria. You could be Arnold. Really? You could be Arnold if you can do an Arnold Schwarzenegger voice.
I don't want to try right now. I don't really feel like it.
You don't want to record an Austrian Death Machine album right now?
Well, the lead singer is in jail for trying to murder his wife.
Nice. That's the same guy?
Yes, Tim Lembe. Tim Lembe, as I lay dying, okay. Tim Lembe says.
Nicely done.
And strangely enough, right after they kickstarted the third album, he suddenly had funds enough to fund someone putting a hit out on his wife.
Nicely done.
I wonder where so my money helped... almost helped contribute to a woman's death. Isn't that lovely?
It's a ridiculous world that we live in.
It is. Kickstarter, your wife's assassination.
Yes.
So, Steam Sale. That's what we're checking in with.
Steam Sale.
Aside from the Steam Sale. The weekly, the monthly, the yearly. I don't know.
One of those all the things, time. Yes.
All in different time periods where... games are cheap, so we have to buy them and never play them.
Exactly. I mean, they make trading cards now. That was probably the smartest thing they've ever done.
I can collect cards by buying things?
Yeah, because that's the nerd's weakness, is collecting shit.
It is.
Is having a pile of shit and being like, look how pretty it is. Look at all these things I can look at.
It is.
I don't want to... I just want to pay $90, not play the game... and have a shitload of cards.
Exactly. Look at my collection. It's impressive.
It's like all these books.
Look how big
my
collection is. So big and massive.
Yes.
It would crush your collection. Yes.
It's big and massive.
What game got your attention from the Steam sale?
I was buying stuff from my wish list. Most of them are pretty old games. I bought a copy of ME1 because I've never played it. Mass Effect 1, and I bought it in a bundle with Mass Effect 2, which is probably one of my top five favorite games ever, and I wanted it for my PC because my PC's got better graphics. I also bought Serious Sam 3, which I have been wanting to play it forever, and God, it was like $10 or something. It was something absurd, maybe 20 at the most. But I also bought Display Fusion, which was finally on sale for a reasonable price.
What is that?
I may go back and it is a software for using multiple monitors.
Oh, okay.
Which I have two monitors hooked up to my Mochin.
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 Did you play any of the games?
Yeah, I played the Serious Sam and other
did
ones.
Did you
are
enjoy
still,
it?
Yeah, other ones are still.
Did you like playing Doom on steroids?
I did. Doom looks so good with this incredibly expensive video card I have. It looks terrible.
That's what Serious Sam is, really.
Yeah. No, it's totally Doom. That's what I love about it. This Serious Sam 3 is even more like Doom.
I haven't played 3. I've only played the first one.
I really like Serious Sam.
Okay, then. Really?
Yes. Really, really.
Okay. Really, really, really.
Really, really.
The game that caught my attention is called Don't Starve.
I saw that.
It's, it was for $9. Mm-hmm. It's like 40% off. And, it's a cute little indie game. You basically start off as a guy in, like, the wilderness.
Right.
And, like, it's like 2D... 2D gore-esque style animation, and you just kind of walk around and try not to starve. But there's like heavy crafting elements. You pick up grass and logs and sticks, and then suddenly you can build something, and then with that you can build more stuff, and then it builds up. You eventually like build houses and machines and stuff, and there's monsters if you explore further, and I have not gone that far into it, but it's pretty fun. It's very cute.
You do a lot of starving.
There's the game ends when you if you die, so You have a health, you have a hunger, and you have a sanity meter. I think the sanity meter is the funniest thing. Because, like, you're out there in the wilderness by yourself, and, you know, if enough time goes by without you, your sanity goes down, and you go crazy, and you start seeing hallucinations, and you can actually fight them. If you kill an hallucination, you gain some of your sanity back.
Cool.
But the
just
only
like
way...
in real life.
Just like in real life. The only way... And also, just like real life, the only way to battle it early on in the game is to pick flowers.
Sounds about right.
You pick flowers, and you regain your sanity. So, I would definitely suggest it. It's a lot of fun. Kim loves it.
Wait, who's Kim?
She's an intergalactic mercenary come to collect a bounty on my head.
That's pretty fucking sweet. You let her? You play video games with her?
No, it's a single-player game. We just trade off.
How long had you had that prepared?
This morning.
Good. You were setting me up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm so predictable.
I laid the bait.
You laid the bait. You were trolling me there. You were trolling me.
And there's no... I knew you couldn't resist.
I cannot.
So that's it for checking in this week. Go see Pacific Rim.
Buy a bunch of games you will never play.
Don't play them, though.
Yeah, don't play
them. Just look at them in your library of games.
Just be like, man.
And look at your trading cards.
Look at all this shit I have. I'm so cool.
I'm so cool. I'm so cool.
I'm so cool.
Are we going into the the pedophile guy?
Yeah. So I'll buy me some popsicles.
Those games will get the kids in here.
Jackpot.
God. It's awful.
Yep.
Okay. We're moving on to yes or no. Everyone's favorite segment where I grill Eric about news items, and really just we get the Eric everyman take. You're an everyman, right, Eric?
I am literally everyman.
It's alliterative, so it has to work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's start off. Number one, Phantom X, one of my favorite characters from Uncanny X-Force and New X-Men. He is getting a solo book. That's a Max imprint, so the Marvel's adult-only imprint. Are you interested?
I think so. We read Uncanny X-Force together, and he's at least an interesting character. I would like to see him explored more. He's when was he introduced?
He was Grant Morrison created him.
In new
X-Men, his X-Men run in the early 2000s.
That's interesting. He's a very bizarre character. Not like bizarre in a Grant Morrison sort of way. It's like he just kept throwing it in the kitchen sink when they were making him. You know, it's like he's
a super soldier.
Yeah.
And he can create illusions.
Yes.
And he has multiple brains.
Yes.
And he has a sentient spaceship that follows him around that can change sizes. And he has access to a whole nother dimension that he's shrunk down to a small size.
Yes. All of that. Thank you.
All of those things.
You remembered all of those things better than I did. So, yeah. That's...
with, ethical dilemmas about his behavior.
Yes.
With a fake French accent.
With a fake French accent.
Yeah.
I thought he was supposed to be English.
I don't know what his actual... Because he was born in, the world, which is the... he's grown to be a super soldier, so I don't really know what voice he's supposed to have. I know he puts on a fake French accent to
impress people.
Try and impress people, yeah.
Yeah, but he's too embarrassed, in front of Gambit and stuff.
Gambit doesn't have a French accent.
He speaks French, though.
If you want to call what he speaks French.
I mean, yeah.
It's a Creole. He's a Creole.
Like Louisiana, there's a lot of Frenchies there. It's not like he's Canadian. He doesn't speak French like Wolverine does.
I don't think Wolverine speaks. Wolverine probably does speak. He probably speaks 10 languages. He just never uses them. He just doesn't care. No, he speaks Japanese.
Yes, he does.
I don't know if he speaks Canadian, though.
He might not. Well, he just says maple syrup plaid.
Maple syrup plaid Molson hockey.
Yeah. Yes.
A. But, yeah, it's the guy's... It's actually a guy who wrote comic books. The writer's going to be a guy who hasn't been in comic books since the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
and he's been in film the whole time, and he says, I'm going to put my own spin on it, and I don't know if I like that or not, but I will at least give it a chance.
Yes.
I like Phantom X.
Yes. Phantom X.
Phantom X, one word.
Yes.
Item number two, which is probably my favorite thing I've read the past, I think, did I show it to you? I'm not sure. Jim Steranko is now on Twitter.
Okay, yes, no, yeah, we did talk about that. About
and,
how he's like, it's like, yeah, I'm gonna breathe underwater and...
Yes, he's a master escape artist, he worked in the carnival, he's a psychopath, but he recently tweeted a story about bitch-slapping Bob Kane.
That is delightful. Did he? He's the one that drew that Spider-Man with Molten Man on the cover.
No, he didn't. He did the, I think he did the Nick Fury and Cap
one. The Nick Fury and Cap one. Oh, you mean the
Fury
the,
and Cap.
The Strange Tales?
I think it's Strange Tales, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay, the one that you have an identical
copy
of.
Yes, that was Steranko. And are you following, this is the question, are you following Jim Steranko, and why not if you aren't?
Well, I can put this together right now. I am in front of one of these computer devices.
But... Yeah, he's a delight. He talks about how he went to he was at some convention in like the 80s or something, and Bob Kane, for those who don't know, is the quote-unquote co-creator of Batman.
Yes.
Even though his credit is questionable, how much he actually put into it. And he was at some convention acting like a big shot, and he like... Apparently, he had like leather gloves on, and they were like about to go into the elevator, and Steranko came up and said hi, and he like before he said goodbye to Steranko, Kane like gave him like a Godfather slap on the face, you know, like, you know, yeah, I'll see you around, little boy, you know, like one of those. Mm-hmm. And then Steranko was pissed off with Kane. He vanished into the elevator before he could do anything. And the next day, Steranko searched for him all day until he found him, walked up to him, and slap the shit out of him.
That is amazing.
And Kane just stared at him, and Kane didn't say a word.
That's wonderful.
It's a great... Yeah.
I'm gonna slap the shit out of Phil Noto.
Did Noto try and pull that on you?
He was rude to me once.
Once. How dare that? Only once.
Only once.
Okay, item number three. It's going to make Alan Moore sad a little bit.
Okay.
Leave Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Well, you didn't ask me yes or no on Steranko. You just knew the answer.
I said our,
you knew
our, yeah, I know you're going to follow him. Leave Extraordinary Gentlemen is getting... It's getting a greenlit for a pilot on Fox.
Oh.
On Fox Television.
Ooh. So they've already made a pilot, or they've greenlit a
going
pilot?
They're going to make a pilot. And then we'll see if it goes.
Ooh.
Are you going to watch this?
Oh, God, this hurts me a little bit.
It might
because
be good.
It probably will not be. I mean...
It probably would be bad, but...
Did you see the movie? Is it going to be LXG?
Yes, it's just... I don't know what it's going to be called. The movie is terrible. It
Are
is
Are you kidding?
Awful.
It's amazing. It has nothing to do with the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
I know, but it's still awful.
It's so amazing that... They made this movie with public domain characters in it, and basically they use none of the story. They basically just put Alan Moore's name on it and made up whatever in the fuck they wanted. And oh my God, did it suck so much.
It's time to be naughty.
Is that what time it is?
That's what Sean Connery, I believe, says at one point in the movie.
Good friggin' God.
I know.
I... Sometimes, boys and girls, there are no words. And that time should be whenever they were trying to write The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. That's when words should have failed them. Yeah,
that's,
I'm gonna...
That's a no.
Yeah, that is a resounding... No, with reverb on it.
Whoa, reverb.
Yes.
You gotta get some extra pedals.
Yeah,
for your,
I am.
And just... I'm gonna
go to Guitar Center and embarrass myself again.
Item number four. Yeah. And I'm just going to read what I wrote for my notes here. It's all capital letters. So. Matt Fraction writing Inhumans December exclamation point. Yes, exclamation point.
I love how you're reading that like you're making fun of yourself.
I know.
You're like, listen to what this idiot wrote.
I'm not going to pose a question because there is no question. The answer is clearly yes.
So I don't even get... See, that's the thing. Almost none of this... Most of that means nothing to me. I'm not... I don't want to fillet Black Bolt like you do.
But his voice is so powerful.
I know he's got a very sultry voice that really does it for you.
It shatters my mind.
It does. It shatters reality. I'm sure it'll be good. I'm sure I'll end up reading it. I am.
You will, because I'll make you.
You will make me. You have this power.
I do. I assign books to read for the podcast, and magically you read them.
For Nerd Boy Book Club.
Nerd Boy Book Club. That's for our spinoff podcast.
Yeah, well, that's effectively what this is. When we get sued by another Handsome Boys Comics Hour, and we'll have to go to Nerd Boy Book Club.
It works. It works pretty well too. Yeah. I don't think it's as good, but yes, Matt Fraction is writing an Inhumans book in December, and I could not be more excited about this.
What else has Matt Fraction wrote?
He writes Hawkeye, mm-hmm. and he wrote
the Hawkeye that we Cat. Just. He wrote Pizza Dog,
yeah, and Casanova.
So this
and
is going to be this is going
Iron
to
Fist
be.
And Iron Man, and he's written right. Thor, he's written X Men, he's written.
Well, this is well. I'm imagining the Inhumans written through the eyes of Pizza Dog.
That'd be a pretty good comic.
It would be all right.
But the premise is basically. Spinning out of the Infinity event that's going to come. It's starting in a couple months. Next month, actually.
Okie dokie.
And Black Bolt and the humans are going to, I guess, the Terrigen Mist is going to end up on Earth, mm-hmm. which is what it gives Inhumans their power. Apparently, there are dormant Inhumans on Earth, and they get their powers, and it's going to deal with that, I guess.
But it'll probably just kill a shitload of people because that's what it does to people. As I now know.
As you now know. Even though they'll probably... I don't know what's going to happen.
They'll just write it out.
They'll ignore that. They're fine. Whatever. I don't know. But that was the last item on Yes or No. Eric succeeded.
I did.
I think you did fail. You yes or no'd your heart out.
Yeah.
Now... It's that time again, folks.
It's that time.
For weekly floppies.
The floppiest.
It's the floppiest. You have to sing.
It's the floppiest.
That's like quite that, a voice you have.
Huh?
I did like that. That was pretty good.
Good. I do what I can.
We're going to start off this week with Uncanny X-Men number 8. Written by Brian Michael Bendis, pencils and colors by Chris Boccolo. Tim Townsend did the ink, and Joe Caramagna did the letters. This is just continuing the confusion of Cyclops' underground X-Men team, and we see Gold Balls leave the team to meet problems with his folks. We see cops being assholes to another mutant. To get rescued. That's true. But most of the issue is really is dealt with that, and then we also get some Cyclops and Magneto deciding that they're going to reteach each other their powers because their powers are all messed up. What did you think, Eric? What did you think about the issue?
I was a little disappointed because I was expecting oh, what is this Joker's name? I didn't realize that last arc ended. I was expecting more of
Dormammu?
Yeah, I was expecting more Frazier Irving art. That was the last issue
was the last one. It's very good, you should go back and read it.
I'll have to.
It was the same week as Hawkeye. Yeah, it was the same week as Lucky Dog, and it got pushed out.
We had to do Pizza Dog over Frasier Irving.
Yeah, Lucky Pizza Dog.
Lucky Pizza Dog.
There's another one. That's his name is Lucky, but then he's also Pizza Dog, so whatever.
Gold balls.
Yeah, gold balls.
They're trying. They're trying so hard.
I think Gold Balls is a good mutant name. Right?
I guess. But what are they going to do when they start spinning off and, you know, then there's silver balls and titanium balls and, you know, it's strange. I don't know. Gold balls? What? I don't get it. There's balls everywhere.
Yeah.
This issue.
But I thought this was just okay.
Yeah.
It has some good character stuff in it, but aside from that, you know, not having Frasier Irving is kind of disappointing. Because, I mean, Chris Bocciolo does a fine job for the most part. Mm. I mean, their styles are very, very different, but it's not. Irving's just so good. It's hard to go back to it.
I actually enjoy this art quite a lot. It's lovely.
Okay.
It's delightful. It's very gold ball-y.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's just very gold balls. Gold ball-y.
Super gold ball-y.
Super gold ball-y. Mm-hmm. Aside from that, it's not groundbreaking.
Yeah.
Just another, you get some story in here.
You don't write home about it.
Don't write home about it. So, what do you say, Eric? Buy it? Don't buy it.
I'd say I'm very meh.
Okay, yeah, I would go meh too. That's my, and I read this every week, and I was kind of meh.
I'll have to sneak back and get a Frasier Irving book. When did that arc start? With what issue?
It was five, I think. Five to seven.
I think that should really say something. Is the most thing that we've said about this is that it's not Frasier Irving.
Yeah, and that's really what all I have.
Yeah.
And the cover is very misleading. Yeah. They don't fight.
Because it's almost entirely about gold balls.
It is about gold balls and the new mutant that they find in getting killed by cops. Uncanny X-Men 8, meh. Meh. Mm. Next up, Fearless Defenders number 6, written by Cullen Bunn, art by Will Sliney, colors by Veronica Gandini, and lettered by Clayton Cowles. I thought we'd try give this one a try. This is the mostly all-female kind of...
It's all-female
book.
Yeah, it's all ladies.
All-ladies book. I'm not super familiar with the plot. From what I caught up, it's mostly about Valkyrie and trying to assemble this group, and there's evil involved, and you get to see, like, Storm and Spider-Woman fighting Valkyrie and Captain Marvel and all these... And She-Hulk, and you know, this is a heavy fist fight issue. Lots of fist fighting.
That it is.
Punching. A lot of punching and blood. Did you like this, Eric? I'm very curious what your thoughts were.
I'm kind of flat on this one. I think the art is really nice. It's well put together, but I'm reminded of something. Dwayne McDuffie?
Yes.
Dwayne McDuffie is one of... I'm not... You know who he is, but I'm just setting this up. Dwayne McDuffie is one of a handful of... was one of black professional comic book writers. But one of the things that he said that stuck out to me was when you put more than one black character... in a story, all of a sudden, everyone acts like it's for black people only, and no one is interested in it.
I just actually watched a documentary on Dwayne McDuffie, and he was doing the Justice League.
Yeah,
there he got signed the Justice League, and he was going to put three black people on the team.
Yes.
And he said, well, if you have one black person on a team, it's okay.
Yeah.
If you have two people on a black team, it's eh.
Yeah.
Borderline. If you put three black people on a team, then it's suddenly a black book. A black people
book. Exactly. Yeah. But that's what this book makes me think of, except it's the complete opposite. And I think it says something negative about nerds. Is you make a book about all women, and it's not necessarily a book for women. It's a book for dudes that want to look at women. That's what I think of when I read this. It doesn't really seem like it's telling a story. I don't know. It seems just...
Well, we caught this at this is the last issue of the arc, I think. So I think I think we missed some of the story stuff.
No, that's certainly true, and it's a little impossible to follow. It's like, I don't know why...
Valkyrie's possessed.
Yeah.
That's all you really need to know.
I get that, but there's like no gravitas when people die, when things happen. None of it makes sense. It's just like goofy. People are in the mountains and they're fighting, and then someone's dead, and then the book's over.
Yeah. Again, I'm right there with you.
But it I don't know. I think that in its heart of hearts, it could be like something really cool, you know, an all women team, and maybe it is if you follow more of it, but in this single issue, jumping in and jumping out, it feels like an excuse to you know, to draw sexy ladies and call it a story, which I don't have any problem with, you know, drawing
sexy ladies.
I don't have a problem with drawing sexy ladies. I'm for it, as you might know. But when you try and pass it off as like these are characters and it's just trying to tell a story, and you're still trying to I don't know, it cheapens it. You know, it's like Supergirl like wearing a skirt at 10,000 feet in the air. You know, it's just a little too much male view in it. You know,
male gaze.
Whatever it's
called. It's like, we're okay. Yeah, we're both very mad on this book as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's I would have to give it a better shot. I'd have to read from the beginning. I thought we could just. It looked interesting. It's a lesser known book. Thought we could. And you said you liked the art. I really didn't.
I like it. I enjoy it.
I didn't like it that much.
It's fun.
It's just too shiny.
It's too shiny.
Yeah. Like, everyone's muscles are shiny. I don't know.
I think
it's
that's
a little too shiny.
That's, it's comic booky, I guess.
It is. It is comic booky. But that's it for Marvel. We're moving on to our indie book of the week, and that is Adventure Time Candy Capers, number one.
Oh,
let me pull. Did you enjoy this? It's written by Ananth Panagiria, hopefully I said that right, and Yuko Oda. Illustrated by Ian McGinty. Colors by Martha Lejo. Letters by Hannah Nance Partlow. With numerous covers.
Yeah, they like to do a lot of covers here.
Give me your thoughts on Adventure Time Candy Capers number one.
This book was delightful. I have been pretty consistently pleased with the Adventure Time books. I think we had a pretty early on, we had a discussion about the Bravest Warriors, and I think that they quite haven't found the voice there, but the Adventure Time voice was so well established that they really do a good job of it. And I think that they're exploring into some characters here that, they're barely done in the show, like Peppermint Butler is a character that they tease all kinds of weird stuff with. The fact that he's like good friends with the God of Death.
Yes.
It's God, doesn't he also take Finn and no, he takes Finn and Jake to he takes the 50th Dead World. He doesn't take him to the Night Sphere.
Yes.
But the fact
he is
God, he's a piece of candy, and he's like a devil worshiper or something. Like it's pretty fantastic how they tease all this stuff. It's pretty delightful, and we get to see the farm. The farm makes an appearance in this. He's arm wrestling the candy gardens.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh, it was This book is lovely.
Yeah, the basic premise is basically Finn and Jake have taken a quote unquote vacation. They got hit with the vacation, right? So Peppermint Butler and Cinnamon Bun are like a takeoff on a noir detective team, and they're trying to figure out what happens to Finn and Jake. And yeah, I also enjoyed it. It plays on a lot of both in jokes on the show and on tropes from noir. So I thought it was very funny, really fun. It's a very Adventure Timey.
Yes, if you're like us and you've watched every episode of Adventure Time a trillion times, it's probably perfect for you.
So, I don't think a lot more needs to be said. If you like Adventure Time, you'll like this. All systems go. Prepared up.
I love this cover. I love this cover with Princess Bubblegum with all the stuff in her hair.
You would think that would happen.
All the covers. Yeah, you would think it'd just be. I mean, her hair is probably very sticky.
It is bubblegum.
I don't know. All these covers are really nice, really fun.
They have lots of variants. It's a one number one, so they'd have a lot of variants. Or that's Adventure Time Candy Capers number one. We're both yes, buy it, enjoy it, have fun. Then we're going to DC, and
going to the DC.
Yeah, my official clusterfuck issue of the week is Justice League number 22. Written by Jeff Johns. Let me pull up the credits page. It's on here somewhere. You can never find him on these freaking DC books. It's at the very end. Pencils by Ivan Rice. Joe Prado and Eau Claire Albert did the inks. Rod Rice did colors. And DC Lettering did the letters.
Mm-hmm.
So DC's officially branded their lettering, apparently.
It's a corporation now.
I guess so. But this is the issue kicks off the Trinity War, which is basically a big war between the Justice League, Justice League Dark, and the Justice League of America. And my God,
yeah.
I don't what is happening. Yes.
I'm glad that we're on the same page here because this is someone trying to be really cute with some storytelling and fucking it up really bad. It's like,
yeah, I don't understand. Shazam is trying to bury Black Adam's ashes in some fictional Middle Eastern country, and for some reason the Justice League goes in there, and then for some reason after that the Justice League of America goes in there, and they start fighting, and then Superman, lasers some guy's face off, and he's, all surprised about it. Justice League 22 makes no friggin' sense. All the superheroes act stupid. Like, they don't act like they're... Like, they act like they're morons in a bar fight. I don't...
They have diehard brain.
None of it makes sense. It is pretty. It looks nice.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
The art is good, but... It's for the first issue of a giant crossover event. It really doesn't set the stage very well because you don't know what the fuck is happening. It's just a whole bunch. It's a clusterfuck of all these guys fighting each other for no reason, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
So, boo.
I know. I did not know that Batman and the Question were tarot cards. That's pretty interesting, isn't it?
You see her little crackle of finger energy. She transforms the cards, I think. That's what that's supposed to be.
Is that what that's supposed to be?
Yeah, she makes the cards into represent all the players. But still, it makes no sense. Like, is this supposed to communicate a greater idea than just stupid punching?
Stupid stupidness?
Stupid punching.
Yeah. Go punch the stupid out of you.
It's just... Boo. That's my vote.
The vote is we're not saying Boo Arns.
We're not saying Boo Arns. We're saying Boo.
We're not saying Boo Arns.
This issue sucked. And this event's probably going to suck. So, Boo.
Oh my God. Why is this happening? Why? Yes.
We're going to go on to a much better comic book. And it doesn't even have to be that much better to be that much better. It is Batman number 22. The part 2 of Zero Year, written by Scott Snyder, pencils by Greg Capullo, inks by Danny Meekie, colors by F.C.O. Placentia, and letters by Nick Napolitano. And this is continuing Snyder's retelling of Batman's origin story and his early battles with the Red Hood gang before he's actually technically Batman. I enjoyed it. I still kind of have some of the misgivings I had about the first part of this.
I think I have more of those misgivings with this one than with the last one. But it's, you know, it seems like it's progressing okay.
Yeah, I think the really good part was that Bruce Wayne's discussion with Edward Nygma. Mm-hmm. He's Mr. Enigma.
Mr. Enigma. That's such a clever name.
And I really enjoy the one page. It makes it look like a Ouroboros kind of snake.
And a board game.
And a board game at the same time.
Because it looks like a board game, so you like it.
That's, yeah, pretty much. I'm an easy target. I'm a bark.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of it, again, just Bruce Wayne acts so immature.
Well, I think it's probably supposed to be that way.
I know. It's hard to deal with because
It's him learning his life lessons. Maybe you're not supposed to like him.
I guess so, but I also don't enjoy reading it, so maybe try and balance it more. But him and Alfred have a little falling out. Then his mysterious uncle comes back and welcomes Bruce officially back to Gotham. The cat's out of the bag. But then we get a surprise ending, the Red Hood fighting Bruce Wayne in a penguin. In the beginning of the issue, Bruce Wayne is impersonating the penguin.
Which, how do you do that?
How do you
impersonate someone that's 2 feet shorter than you?
You cut off your legs.
Yeah. That actually is, I didn't even think about that, but it's completely senseless. It doesn't make sense. Do you know who he looks like is Patton Oswalt?
He does.
This penguin looks like Patton Oswalt. You saw that video where Patton Oswalt played the penguin, right?
I've seen it six times now. It's pretty spectacular. Yeah.
It's pretty good.
If you guys aren't, well, I'll link to it. It's hilarious. Patton Oswalt plays the penguin in a, was it College Humor? I think it was College Humor video.
I say.
And Batman... Yeah. You know,
it could also be Funny or Die, I suppose. It's the same thing now.
Yeah, they're one or the other. And Batman doesn't kill people, he says. But it's not that he doesn't kill people. He just doesn't understand what death is.
Yeah.
It's
these people are all taking naps.
When he kills someone, they're not dead. They're sleeping.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. This is it's better than Justice League. Oh my god. Just get that taste out of my mouth.
You can set your sights it's higher decent. Than that. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's okay.
I enjoyed the backup story more than
this time around.
Yeah, it was. Except for Adventure Time.
Yeah, Adventure Time was strong, everything.
I also did a couple other issues.
It's extracurricular.
I did a couple bonus reviews on the site as well. So if you guys want to check out some other stuff I did, Indestructible Hulk and Daredevil, both were much better than the Marvel and DC books.
Yet I had to read the shit books.
I'm very sorry. Everyone knows to buy Daredevil now. I mean, it won all the awards and stuff. I figured... we've already read the Hulk twice before. I was trying to change it up a little bit. This is what I get for ingenuity.
Yeah, we get craptacular books that make no sense.
That's true.
We get gold balls.
Gold balls.
Gold balls for your ass.
What?
I don't know. I just say things. You can't stop me.
Okay. That was it for Weekly Floppies. Dear God, that was an ordeal.
It was an ordeal.
But this is going to make up for all of it. The triumphant return of the Brian Lee O'Malley tweet quiz. Giving Eric another chance at redemption.
Yup.
For those unfamiliar, basically I take three random tweets from Brian Lee O'Malley's Twitter feed. And then I insert one that I wrote in my own... my my Brian Lee O'Malley voice, whatever you want to call it. And then I mix them all up, and I give him Eric, and he has to guess which one I wrote. We've done it twice. He's failed twice.
Yep.
We
get to four. We know what's going on.
Yeah, we know. I mean, it's random. A random chance he would get. He has a 25% chance. So, at four of them, he should get at least one right. Should not necessarily will. But this week we got some doozies. I know Eric's excited. You ready, Eric? I'm gonna read them to you.
I'm not looking forward to this. This is terrifying.
All right, number one. This is entirely in capital letters.
Entirely in capital letters.
That thing where your foot feels weird.
That's the whole tweet.
That's it. Number two. Peanut butter is literally a vegetable.
Jesus Christ.
Number three. Need more food. All the more. Number four. All my personal assistant robots need music.
I didn't realize this would make me so angry. Oh, my God. Okay. Second one was peanut butter. Fourth one was robots.
Yep.
First one was that thing when your foot... What?
That thing where your foot feels weird.
Your
in all capital
foot
letters.
Feels weird. Oh. Tell me number three again.
Need more food, period. All the more. You have a verdict?
My verdict is that Brian Lee O'Malley's a fucking moron. Oh my God, what a fucking idiot. I don't know which one of you I'm more ashamed of.
Come on, you can do it. I believe in you.
I don't know if you're dumb enough to write all the more. I don't know that you would do that.
I don't know. I did write about... I love it when little dogs look like little dogs.
That's kind of what's making me think peanut butter is literally a vegetable. I think that's my choice.
That's your final answer?
Final answer. I knew it would. I can't win! What is
the one I wrote is all my personal assistant robots need music.
I should have known that because clearly he does everything by himself. He doesn't have assistants nor robots.
Believe me, it's pretty painful to have to read through his whole feed all at once.
The thing that's amazing is he thinks that this shit's brilliant. And people encourage it too.
They do.
People are he literally tweeted one day because people retweet the shit, you know. I see it in my feed. I see it in my feed, and I'm like, I don't follow you, and someone is retweeting him, and I'm like, I want to stop following this person. But like he said, I don't get Twitter. It's dumb. Quoted attributed to everyone that isn't me.
I saw that one while I was going through it today.
Yes.
Yeah. I know.
You don't get Twitter, Brian Lee O'Malley. You're just an idiot. And I think I'm not going to fight Phil Noto. I'm gonna Jim Steranko you, Brian Lee O'Malley.
if you're listening.
If you are one of our 10 listeners.
Hey, we have like at least 13.
You're right. Yes. So, Brian Lee O'Malley, this is the called shot. I'm going to punch you in the nose.
You're on warning.
You are.
You have a beef.
Yep. Beefing. Beef. We're beefing with...
Beefing with Brian.
Beefing with Brian. This is the sitcom I'm going to write.
Boop-a-doop-a-derp.
Yep.
And he's like the next goofy next-door neighbor.
He is.
And you're like the dad, and you hate him. It's and all true. The kids are like, come on, dad, he's funny. And you're like, I hate him, I want to murder him.
Yeah, I'll pick up the Homestuck guy and murder him with him. Stab him in his heart.
Homestuck guy. You didn't check in with Homestuck.
I did not check in with Homestuck. Oh my God, I have failed us. But I tried to read Homestuck, and I, about 10 minutes into it, I was like, what the fuck am I looking at?
It's all the rage.
It really has made me think about when you're how easily impressed you are as a kid, and how you only want to eat sugar and bread. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ.
Okay. So that was Brian Lee O'Malley tweet quiz. Eric failed again. He's 0-3.
Well, tomorrow, he's batting 0-4. The deciding factor.
It decides if we want to humiliate him further, or if I'm just like a genius.
Maybe you are. You're but a genius only, at being a fucking idiot.
Exactly. It's not really useful genius.
It's not. It's not. Robots, huh?
Robots. I thought it was time to go there.
It was time to talk about robots.
But now, folks, it is time for the classic breakdown.
See, I'm feeling that defeat, you understand? I'm carrying it with me.
It is a heavy burden.
It is. It is a burden to carry.
And this week, in Classic Breakdown, we are doing Frankencastle.
Yep.
Written by Rick Remender. The majority of the art is Tony Moore. There's a couple issues in the... because it's a crossover, minimally a crossover. It's a couple of Dark Wolverine issues in here that were written by Daniel Way, I believe. And the art was by someone else. But most of the issues are... Remender and more. I'll just give them the credit for most of it because it's easier that way. But this, we were at Tate's Comics last week, and I pulled this off the shelf and I showed it to Eric. He was interested,
to say the least.
To say the least, and it is completely bonkers. What were you gonna say?
I'm gonna say, are you gonna describe? You want to give them the pitch that you gave me?
About Rick Remender, what he said, or just about...
About
the book. Okay, basically, if you think the Punisher should be remade as a Frankenstein monster and then fight Nazi zombies and samurai guys while riding a dragon...
And like, if you don't think this, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm, yeah, pretty much. And those things happen... In this book, basically, Rick Remender has gone on record saying that if you like this book, you get me. If you don't like me, it's probably a good barometer if you're not going to like my other stuff either. That is really the premise that Frankencastle is basically Frank Castle, the Punisher, is chopped into bits by Dark Wolverine, Dokken, during Dark Reign after he tries to kill Norman Osborn and fails. The Legion of Monsters, which is, you know, Morbius, the Man-Thing, the Werewolf by Night, what is the Mummy's official name in Marvel? Is it the Living Mummy or something like that?
I didn't see it.
Official Marvel name. But there's a mummy. It's basically an amalgamation of all the monsters in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, it's movie monsters.
Well, I mean, they're all ripoffs of movie monsters. And they're living underneath the city in the old Morlock tunnels, and they have with them all the monsters of the world are coming there for refuge because this monster hunter and his legion of followers are slowly killing them all off, and they rebuild the Punisher as a Frankenstein monster.
This is after Dark Wolverine gruesomely chops him into bits. Yeah, chops him in, like, literally... chops him into, like, pieces and
his arms and legs.
Leaves him for dead. I mean...
And he's already dead. He leaves him in the sewer. Parts in the sewer.
Yes, yeah.
He's dead. Frankencastle is dead. His head is separated from his body.
Like, it's even cut in half.
Yeah.
His friggin' head is cut in half. It's like a chunk of head laying in an alley.
And the monsters gather him up and rebuild him to help him out. And so he goes on this... quest for them. They eventually convince him to help, and his I guess they appeal to his humanity, and he takes on this old monster hunter that used to hang out with Ulysses Bloodstone, and now he's been stuck in limbo for decades in this weird suit, and he wants to rid the world of monsters and kill civilians in the way, and he has a legion of these Japanese soldiers who honor him.
It's a little bit on the racist side, these guys.
Yeah.
They're like, they just run in and like, I die for honor. And then Frank Castle like eats their head.
At one point he rips off a guy's arm and jams it down his throat.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy. Amazing.
That was the only thing that broke my suspension of disbelief.
when he did that? That's tough. But then, I mean, the first half is him dealing with that, and then the second half he comes back to civilization and is going after the underworld as Frankencastle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really fair. Because really the only thing holding Frankencastle back is the fact that he's human.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's like all roboted up, and he murders people pretty brutally.
It's pretty gruesome.
Yeah. I love this book. It's insane. It's complete. There's a big division about people.
Mm.
A lot of people love it, and a lot of people hate it. Because it's completely different from anything that happens to the Punisher. Like, of all the superhero, the hero, he's not even a hero, the anti-heroes in the Marvel Universe, his is very ground level. He doesn't deal with many supernatural things, or, you know, he gets injected into the superhero events occasionally, into crazier stuff, but mostly he just kills drug dealers,
mm-hmm.
and like, and thugs, mafia, and suddenly he's a Frankenstein monster, living with monsters, but it's insane and crazy and so much fun. You do not get to see this in normal Punisher comics very much, this kind of craziness, and nice to see it once.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that most comic book writers aren't brave enough to do something like this, and I applaud them. I think that they need to put in the weird, ridiculous storylines. I approve of it. It's God, it's so strange. it's like none of it makes sense. I remember when we were talking about this originally. You were like, yeah, we should read Frankencastle, and I said pretty much exactly what I just said, that people are, you know, people should really go and do this more what-if book, and you're like, this isn't what-if, it's continuity. If you asked Frank Castle, do you remember being a Frankenstein, he'd be like, yeah, that shit sucked.
He would, it's true. It's crazy.
So I had to take this brain candy, and I couldn't think, and I was hanging out with the creature from the Black Lagoon, and all of his kids died, and some kind of skull monster in a fish tank tried to kill me, and I sent him to hell. Because people, that shit just happened in this book.
In the Marvel Universe, you may encounter the Legion of Monsters in the sewers.
Yeah, they just want to be left alone.
Just leave them alone.
Just leave them alone. They want to stay in the sewers and be monsters and farm. I don't know what they do down there.
Farm.
I guess.
They're also a monster island.
They're Monsters Island.
The island he goes to at the end. Monster Island.
So did you keep wanting to sing Bloodstone?
I did.
You did want to sing Bloodstone?
I like the fact that the Bloodstone appears.
I know. I even liked that from Next Wave, her name showed up. I was like, yeah. I know her. Yeah. I read that book. She was weird. I do. Yeah. That's my inner monologue. I have that voice.
Oh, okay. For Miss Bloodstone.
Yeah, for Lady Bloodstone, whatever the shit her name is.
I like this book a lot because it's crazy, and I like it a lot because I really enjoy the fact that calls to attention to the fact that these things exist in this universe.
Yeah.
There are monsters just hanging around. They're out there.
Like, you have to keep in mind just how nuts, like, collecting all these stories over all the years. Just, I mean, it's not like the X-Men and Wolverine and, like, that's in Spider-Man and that's it. There's a lot more going on. Like, you have seen, it's one of the books that I have framed, what if Wolverine became the Lord of Vampires, that book that I have.
Yes.
It makes you realize that, like, you know, Dracula exists in the Marvel Universe, or existed. That the X-Men fought Dracula.
Actual Dracula.
Actual Dracula. Bram Stoker's
Doctor Acula.
Doctor Acula. He's got his medical license.
He does. He's a blood surgeon. Yeah. That makes no sense.
He's a phlebotomist.
Phlebotomist.
Riddled with phlebitis.
Riddled with phlebitis.
Oh man. Wolverine's son looks like a Fist of the North Star character.
he is a ridiculous character.
I mean, he got beat up for a lot. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Wolverine does go on to murder him later on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the last arc of Uncanny X-Force, actually.
Okay, wow.
Has not been released in trade yet.
Clearly.
It will be shortly, I think, and within a couple weeks. But he kills Dokken.
You're not gonna let me pick books for a while because I made you read the Meta Barons.
No, you can pick another one. Just no more Steelhead.
No more Steelhead.
Please, no. I beg of you.
I love Steelhead so much.
I know you do. I hate fucking Steelhead. But. Back to Frank Castle. If the idea of Frank Castle as a Frankenstein monster appeals to you, you should definitely pick this up. It is a joy to read.
If you could just read or listen to us and be like, I can't believe what they're talking about, and you think we're all making it up, I dare you to read it.
Yeah, it's crazy and fun. And I love that it's a part of continuity.
Yeah. This shit all happened. That's easily the best part about it.
Frank Castle's like, yeah, I'm killing drug dealers. I killed some drug dealers yesterday, a couple years ago. I was a Frankenstein monster. Mm-hmm. Then I got the bloodstone implanted in my heart and healed me.
Yeah. I came back to life.
It was pretty... It was not a great time in my life. This book does shine a light on his humanity a little bit. Like, it makes him, you know, more vulnerable because he's at such a low point.
Yeah.
I really like that scene where he's like watching the old, like the 1950s television with the little monster. That was cute.
The one that brings him a candy bar.
Yeah, and then gets murdered.
Yeah, naturally, that's what happens to cute things.
Yeah, especially when you're in a Punisher book. He brings him a candy bar and they watch television.
Dan Brereton. That's paintings. I like his paintings. This is, I think, some of his strongest work, honestly.
So yeah, Tony Moore did most of the pencils, but there's some interstitials.
Yes.
In the last issue is all paintings by Dan Brereton.
It's a nice way to send off the story, and as I've said, Punisher looks like Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp Punisher.
Yeah, he's got all of his eye makeup on.
He does. He does. He has some highliner. Guy liner.
Yes. He's wearing his mantyhose.
Those terms, I'm sad that they exist.
What's the Bloodstone character's name?
Her name... Elsa.
Elsa Bloodstone.
Elsa Bloodstone. Daughter of Ulysses Bloodstone. Who was a bastard, I guess. So, that's it for Classic Breakdown this week. Frank Castle's great. You should go read it. It's crazy.
It's a classic.
Classic. It's a classic in my book.
I mean...
There we go.
It's got friggin' Dracula, the Wolfman, the Mummy... If these aren't classics, I don't. You have strange criteria.
That's not Dracula. That's Morbius, Eric. And that's not the werewolf. Mentions, that's Werewolf by Night.
No. They mention Dracula.
They do mention Dracula.
It does have Morbius, the living vampire.
Yes,
it does.
It does. It does. The living vampire. He's not dead. Don't get that confused. So, go buy Frank Castle. It's bonkers. And for those of you with a Marvel Unlimited subscription, the whole thing is on there. I know we have some listeners who are subscribed, so you can check out the whole thing. You do not have to even just go on your tablet. Tablet Mabob. And you can go read it for free.
Tabulation.
Tabulations. And we're going to finish up this week with a the stalwart, the ever-present random character generator. And this week, I came up with this idea. I assume Eric hasn't, he hasn't descended yet, so I assume he likes it. We're doing a, this kind of just came to mind. I was browsing the comic book subreddit, and they had posted some picture of the Captain America Superman combination from Amalgam Comics, which is really, really silly. It's the brief combination of characters that was published after Marvel and DC had the Marvel vs. DC Universe crossover, where fans voted on who won, and I thought, well, we should do something like that. And so we will both each take one Marvel character, one DC character, mix them together to form a new hero, and then we'll reveal it on air, and we'll do some kind of zany adventure. So you want to go? You ready? You want to go first?
I'm extra ready.
I hope you didn't steal my thunder.
I hope I did. Do you you want me to go first?
Go first.
My amalgam characters. You get a choice.
Choose. Okay,
you get to decide who in the DC universe of these two characters we're gonna mix with Sasquatch.
Okay.
Alpha Flight Sasquatch.
Alpha Flight Sasquatch, the big brown furry dude.
Yeah.
I think he's dead now.
So I'm thinking, is it either Supes or is it Batman? Was it Super Squatch or is it Bat Squatch?
Well, I may be using Batman.
So it's Super Squatch.
Should do Super Squatch.
So do we have to do three now to where we do the DC Trinity?
No, I don't think so. I think we can have just the two is fine.
I kind of think it should be the Trinity, but that's fine. I will let you. I'll let you take the lead here.
Okay, so you got Super Squatch?
Super Squatch.
What is his powers?
His power is the ability to fly around and smell awful.
So he has the powers of, does he have all the powers of Superman, or only half and half, or?
Well, I don't see him. He's not quite as all-powerful as Superman. He's like original Superman, where he just leaps over buildings.
But he looks like a Sasquatch.
He's just Sasquatch with, like, he's just painted an S on his chest, maybe.
Good. Does he have animalistic urges?
I think so. Yeah.
So, is he always like a Sasquatch, or does he transform?
No, he's always a Sasquatch.
Oh, okay. Well, that must suck. You always look like, it's like Beast, but giant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Naturally. Super Squatch.
Super Squatch.
Super Squatch.
So that's okay. Well, mine?
That's my Marvel. Already starting off shameful.
My Marvel character is Giant Man.
Giant Man.
And Hank Pym is Giant Man.
Mr. Pym.
And my DC character is Batman. So he's Giant Batman. So it's
clearly we weren't really taking this seriously.
No.
We wanted to say Super Squatch and Giant Batman. Oh, man. It's too bad you couldn't do three characters, because he could be Giant Vampire Batman.
It's basically just Batman, except he can get really big.
Naturally, that's clearly what. Andy's a super scientist, I guess.
Well, he's already a pretty. I mean, he's not a super scientist, I guess, but he's smart.
Pym is a super scientist.
No, I mean not Batman. I mean Bruce Wayne is already. Yeah. I don't know if I'd put him as a super scientist. He's a scientist.
Yeah, but Hank Pym is a super scientist.
So I guess you can make Batman a super scientist, too.
Yeah, so is the super scientist Batman. So he fights giant crime.
Actually, right? Now that I think about it, I think that Hank Pym just gave him a giant man suit. Mm-hmm. Giant man Batman suit. I think he's still Bruce Wayne.
He's still Bruce Wayne.
Yeah. So he's just giant Batman.
I think Super Squatch actually comes from... It's like the Planet of the Apes version of Krypton.
It's a Sasquatch planet?
It's a Sasquatch planet, and Jor-El is all like... No.
It'd be George Swatch.
George Swatch.
George Squatch, and he sends off a little super squatch, cow squatch, into cow squatch into his little rocket squatch, and
all these things are covered in hair. Naturally,
they're all brown and furry.
Oh God,
they look like they are covered in shag carpeting.
Jesus.
And Jesus. He sends it to Earth. It lands in Canada.
Of course.
And he gets taken in by a friendly gang of Mounties. And he becomes Super Squatch.
Now, you need to... I think I need to Photoshop the picture that I just sent you to be Super Squatch. Isn't it beautiful?
Oh my God.
I think that's going to go in the show notes.
That has to. That's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. Oh goodness!
Okay, so we got giant sized giant Batman and Super Squatch teaming up. Who's their villain? Who's their big villain? Their arch enemy.
Who is their big villain? Maybe it is. Maybe it is part of the Trinity.
Wonder Woman's gonna be the villain.
Yeah, Wonder Woman's gonna be the villain.
But we'd have to mash her up with an evil Marvel character. And she'd be corrupted.
I guess so.
I'm trying to think of an evil female character. Trying to think of it.
Maybe it would be White Queen.
Emma Frost is good now.
Well, I know she is, but she wasn't always. She was the villain in that X-Men arcade game that we beat.
It's true, she was a villain.
She was the villain
in that arcade game. But I'm trying to think of something that's going to be punny.
I don't know, man. I want to see Emma Frost and Wonder Woman. I think that's good times. But
what's her name then?
I don't know.
She's the White Queen.
Wonder Queen.
Wonder Queen.
We cannot do that. That's an embarrassment, even more than Super Squatch.
What about Giant Batman?
Giant Batman.
No, I say we go with Wonder Queen.
Wonder Queen. It sounds like the name of a vacuum cleaner. Wonder Queen.
It's the Wonder Queen.
It's the Wonder Queen. You have to admit, she would have a pretty awesome costume.
She would.
Mm-hmm.
I think they would. Maybe Wonder Queen like brainwashes.
She can read your mind and then make you tell the truth.
Exactly. Admit the truth to people.
Yeah.
But she would. She would know. She could brainwash. She could maybe mind control, like a group of heroes. And they have to. And Super Squatch and Giant Batman have to fight them off.
Naturally, do we have to? Do we have to come up with like an amalgamated team now? Is that
no?
Spend this whole time being like,
no. No, please no. It'd be the stupidest thing ever. I just came up with another one that's even better. I think this is her. It's her lackey that she brainwashed. It's Hawkeye Hawk Guy.
Oh, man. Jesus.
Or is it Hawk Man?
He can be Hawk.
Hawk. And that's the only sound he makes.
He's just flying around shooting
arrows. Hawk!
Flying around shooting arrows at people. Hawk! Oh my God, this is such an embarrassment.
I think, and he's flying around the city like shooting people with arrows, and then. It's Batman grows to like the size of like Godzilla.
Naturally.
And Sasquatch sits on his shoulder. And they march into Super Squatch marches into combat.
Oh good God.
And and Super Squatch is he jumps off his perch of giant Batman. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it should do a Colossus style cannonball, except he should throw giant Batman. Because you want to see a superhuman Sasquatch, a super Sasquatch, throwing a giant Batman.
No, I think Batman is normal sized.
Yeah, and he grows.
And then
mid-air.
He grows in midair, yeah. and grabs Hawk Hawk.
He grabs Hawk Hawk.
And then throws Hawk Hawk.
And Hawk Hawk is like, Hawk Hawk!
Hawk Hawk!
Hawk Hawk! Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
And then giant Batman steps on the Wonder Queen.
Well, she can turn into diamonds, so how could it possibly hurt?
Well, it's not to damage her, it's just to hold her down.
Okay. So he steps on her, just stands there for a while.
until the authorities arrive and subdue her.
I see.
They put some mental collar or some shit on her.
Naturally.
She goes back to the island.
Mm-hmm.
The Wonder Queen Island.
The Wonder Queen Island that she's queen of, the Wonder Queen.
She is the Wonder Queen. Mm-hmm. So she's the queen of the Wonder Queen Island.
The queen of the Wonder Queen Island.
Super Squatch goes back to his Canadian fortress of Squashitude.
Yes. Someone takes a blurry picture of him. Except he's so fast, it really is blurry.
It really is blurry. Yeah. And Batman goes back to his giant Batcave.
Mm-hmm. It's even bigger. No one can find it somehow.
It's gigantic, but yeah. No one ever sees it.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that was random character generator for the week.
Aren't you proud of us?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh my God is right, y'all.
Fortress of Squashitude.
Squashitude.
Hawk Hawk.
That's how you do it, Amalgam Comics.
Yes, you make a character named Hawk Hawk. He looks like Hawkman and shoots arrows like Hawkeye.
He flies around.
Hawk Hawk. That's all he can say.
Why do you need a vocabulary? He speaks in arrows.
He does. That's his language.
That's his language.
Hawk Hawk and arrows.
It is the language of the Hawk Hawk people.
The Hawk Hawk
the
people.
Proud Hawk Hawk people.
He's the last of the Hawk Hawks.
Yes.
Until they take... But then we put Kate Bishop, the female Hawkeye, with Hawk Woman,
mm-hmm.
Hawk Girl, or whatever her name is, and she's Lady Hawk Hawk.
Yes.
It's the same thing, and she does the same thing.
She still says Hawk Hawk because... It's like Yoshi. You can only say Yoshi.
Exactly. She's like they're like Pokemon.
Yeah. She can only say Squirtle. She can say Hawk Hawk and Squirtle.
Hawk Hawk. She can say Squirtle.
She just says it a little bit more girly.
Uh-huh. Hawk Hawk.
Yeah.
Hawk Hawk. Hawk Hawk.
That's disturbing. I'm gonna be thinking about that tonight.
Good. I hope you do. I'm sure you'll like it.
I will. I do like it.
Okay.
Good God. Flipping God.
That was ridiculous. That was random character generator, folks. I'm sorry. Again, I apologize. And that's it for the week.
Is that the title of this episode? I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm sorry, folks.
I'm sorry, folks.
There's a Bill Hicks album called I'm Sorry, Folks. We'd be in good company.
It's true. So, I apologize.
I don't apologize. You should. Okay. You should count yourself lucky.
that was episode 10. It was a mess.
It was a mess, just like the Justice League book that we read.
Just like Justice League 22.
Yeah.
Oh, that was terrible. So that was episode 10. I feel good.
Mm-hmm.
about that?
Completely separate from what we might have just created, but if anything, we've brought Hawk into the world.
We birthed Hawk.
Hawk and Lady Hawk.
Lady Hawk.
That's a movie. Lady Hawk.
It's also a band.
It is a band.
Yeah.
Do they sing about the movie?
No.
They should.
You wouldn't like the band.
Probably not.
So yeah, that was episode 10 where the Handsome Boys Comics Hour. You can find us at handsomeboyscomicshour.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and 366 days a year on leap year.
Mm-hmm. That's how the internet works.
That's how the internet works. You can also find us on Tumblr at handsomeboyscomicshour.tumblr.com. Mm-hmm. I've been putting stuff up there.
Been stuffing it up.
Stuffing it up. You can find us on Facebook. I should say that. Facebook.com/handsomeboyscomicshour. You can find us on iTunes. Handsome Boys Comics Hour. Search for that and you will find us and nothing else. And you should subscribe to us, and you should leave us a nice review.
Mm-hmm. It would make us feel really good.
I will make you a fat bomb.
A fat bomb?
Fat bomb, if you do that.
Sounds good.
They're delicious.
I don't know what you're talking about, but...
Oh, you need...
Now I want one.
Well, after we go off there, I'll detail them.
You'll give me the deets?
Or the tails.
You give me the tails. Some people say the deets, I say the tails.
Okay. you can find me on Twitter. I am Mixmaster Serial, spelled like it sounds, MixmasterSerial, all one word. Mm-hmm. I'm also on Tumblr, the same name. I'm on Facebook under my name. You search for me, you'll find me. I'm sure there's other stuff, but nothing too important. Eric, where can they find you and all your belongings?
And all my internets.
On your internets.
You can find my portfolio at freewillunlimited.com. My Twitter is Mr. Bad Example, MR Bad Example. I guess I should say I also have a Tumblr at MrBadExample.tumblr.com. But most everything is reblogged at ericzgoodnight.com.
Do you have a Pinterest, Eric?
I do have a Pinterest, and good God, I wear it out. I don't know how to find my Pinterest.
Okay.
I don't know if I have a URL for it or not. I don't know, but I do Pinterest. I Pinterest a lot of things. It's been a lot easier for me, actually, to find fun artwork on Pinterest rather than on Tumblr. Yes, Pinterest. But I was going to say, you can find some products that I have for sale, on the How To Geek, t-shirt store at, howtogeek.com/store. Something I've been working hard on for forever and a day. And, yeah. That is me on the old interwebs.
Webs. Like Spider-Man.
I can shot web.
What?
Web.
Right.
Yeah, web. Hawk.
I think that's our new sign off.
No, I'm going to just shout Hawk at random.
Hawk. So, folks, until next time.
Until you feel like being embarrassed by us next.
Good night and good luck.
Yes.
Hawk.
Rock and roll.